a magician, an illusionist, looks forward to the big reveal in his trick, right? He reveals the card that was chosen. Someone takes something from the deck and then he loses it, or he has him sign it and he loses it, or he tears it up or something, and it comes back. He makes it reappear. Or he reveals that his assistant isn't actually cut in half, right? Because the alternative would be a horrible... that'd be not good. Or he reveals that the Statue of Liberty has disappeared. You know, he makes the Statue of Liberty disappear. Or he reveals a car has appeared on stage or something. You know, all sorts of tricks magicians, illusionists do. That's the moment that the audience, that he lives for, when the audience is just amazed at the moment of the revelation. I guess it might be the same for like Bob Barker or nowadays Drew Carey, when he reveals a new car, you know, it's on, woo. So that reveal only comes after a time of anticipation. You know, the doors on The Price is Right are closed and you're waiting for them to open to see what's behind it. It's only after the entire setup of the magic trick that you have to really believe that it's been lost, that the card has been lost or it's been or torn up or whatever. It's only after all of that preparation that the reveal can have any impact. For us, Advent is the time of the anticipation. Christmas and the Epiphany are the big reveal. The simple shepherds, you know, the shepherds who show up at the manger, they were the first to be amazed at this. And then the wise men from far away in the east, the Magi, after them. I mean, the Jewish shepherds have carried the hope of a savior with them for a very long time. They're part of the Jewish tradition. They're part of the tradition that has received the promises and they received the prophecies that a savior will be born. And so for it to happen for them, you know, all of a sudden these angels appear and then they go and find the baby and all that anticipation, it's all revealed. That's the big reveal for them. The Magi, though, they don't know much about Judaism. They don't know much about being Jewish. They're not part of the chosen people. They come from very far away. They didn't receive the prophecies, but they can read the stars. They followed all the evidence in creation back to the creator of the creation. They followed the stars wherever they led, trusting they would all make sense, got to the end of the journey. They looked forward to that big reveal. And when they get there, what do they find? They find a poor young family with a little baby. For some people, this might be perceived as a letdown. But they know better. They are wise men. They know better. They can see that there is more here than meets the eye. The shepherds knew it too. Whether Jewish or not, they all these people, they understood that this baby, that this family, is important. They have experienced an epiphany. So what's an epiphany? You've ever had an epiphany? An epiphany is when suddenly something makes sense. Something comes to light. The light goes off in your brain, you know, how we talk about that. Teachers, if you're a teacher, anyone a teacher? Teachers know, or even just being parents, you know. But teachers know that in their classroom full of students, that some of them have epiphanies earlier on, some of them have epiphanies later, you know. Some of them figure out early just how, whatever, division works. That it's just, it just clicks. Where some kids it takes a little bit longer. Some of them figured out how chemistry works. I still haven't figured out how chemistry works. That light hasn't gone off in my brain, but my brain isn't wired for it. But, I mean, I think it's cool, the things we did in science class, and we would, you know, mix hydrochloric acid and zinc together, and suddenly we've got this balloon blowing up with hydrogen off the top of the beaker. It was cool. I enjoyed lighting it on fire. That was fun. But we had a great science teacher in eighth grade. But how it works has never really gone off in my brain. Not that I don't have the potential for it, I do. For some, to go really little, just for teachers to realize, to see the light go off and to see a child advance from reading Dick and Jane to something more advanced, they love that moment. That's the moment the teachers live for. When the kids move past the C-spot run stuff, and they can now read Hamlet. Well, there's a lot of steps in between, but that's what teachers live for. whether it comes earlier for some kids or later for others, the teacher's job is to help them along through it, to help to be along with them on the journey until that child gets there. All the kids can have the epiphany. For some it takes a little bit longer. The teacher, though, can't have the epiphany for the kid. The kid has to do it himself. That experience, that event, has to be had for oneself. The same goes for a pilgrimage. It has to be done for yourself. Anyone been on a pilgrimage? It's not a walk. It's not just a trip. You can go walks. You can go on trips a lot. But a pilgrimage is different. Pilgrimage is defined by the importance of the destination. The destination is at the end of the pilgrimage, but in some way, it's the only thing that you have with you the entire time. You have the hope of reaching the destination. If you didn't have a destination, there would be no pilgrimage. There's no reason to go if you don't have a destination. You have to carry the hope and the expectation of the end of the journey with you on the entire journey. Everything else can come and go. Food comes and goes. Difficulties come and go. Good weather, bad weather, it all changes. None of it matters while you're on the journey. The only thing you have the entire time is, I'm going to get to the destination. Even companions come and go. I mean, read The Lord of the Rings. It's Frodo and Sam. Companions come and go. Difficulties come and go. The journey is the journey, and they end at the and they have to get to the mountain. For some people, a pilgrimage might be to visit a memorial in Washington, D.C. to find a name. You know, their goal is to find a particular name on the Vietnam Memorial or something. Other people might go on a pilgrimage to find the best gumbo in Louisiana. I don't know. Muslim pilgrims go on a pilgrimage to Mecca, and a Christian pilgrimage is one whose end point is nothing other than Christ. Christian, Christ, the Christ is the point of the pilgrimage. A Christian pilgrim makes the journey for no other reason than for God. If you go to the store, you go for yourself. I need food. Okay. You go on a vacation even. You go for yourself or for the time with your family. And that's for yourself. But the Christian pilgrim goes for God. So the Magi, traveling from the Far East, are the first Christian pilgrims. And at the end of their journey, they find the Christ. They find the Savior of the world, even though he hasn't done any saving yet. He's just a baby. But he is the Savior of the world. We are all on a pilgrimage. Our lives are pilgrimages. Our destination is somewhere different, somewhere other than Earth. We have to be traveling towards heaven while we're here, place where Jesus is. That's where the big reveal takes place. Earth is just the passing through place. We're just passing through here on the trip, on the pilgrimage towards heaven, to where God is. If you've ever been, or if you ever plan on going to like the Holy Land, that would be, for some people maybe it's a trip, but for others, because people can go on business trips to Jerusalem, but to go on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land, even if it looks the same, it's a different event. But to get there, you have to go through like Tel Aviv Airport. Tel Aviv Airport is not the destination. It's just the place you got to pass through in order to get there. That's what Earth is for us, for everyone, as we don't get to stay here forever. Earth is nice, but it's not our permanent home. It's not our destination. Our destination is God. And someday, it'd be nice to go on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. Someday, I think it'd be nice also to travel the Camino de Santiago de Compostela in Spain, which takes a month to walk. I figure I've got 50 or 60 years left on this earth to do each of these pilgrimages, but no matter which destination is the destination is not the destination. The destination is God. The destination is Christ. It's a Christian pilgrimage. Just as for the Magi, the destination wasn't Bethlehem. It happened to be Bethlehem, but the destination was Christ, wherever he happened to be. And no one else could have done that trip for them. They had to go and see for themselves. They had to go and see for themselves that this new king was being born. Each of us has to walk our pilgrimage for ourselves. Companions may come and go, and maybe come back again. Even Jesus can only do so much for us. We have to walk it ourselves. We have to choose to walk it and to follow where the path leads us, the path that God has laid out for us. If we follow it sincerely, it will lead us just as it led the shepherds and just as it led the Magi. It'll lead us right to Jesus.